Good morning and welcome to the Latin Street Church of Christ online worship service this morning. We're pleased that you could join us. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Lord, for the great day you have blessed us with once again. Open our hearts to your word and teaching this morning so that we may become more and more like you each day. Thank you for providing us the greatest gift of all, salvation, through your sacrifice on the cross. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen. The sermon topic this morning is spiritual transformation, the pursuit of godliness. I'll be reading the keynote scripture, 1 Timothy 4, verses 8 to 10. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. This is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance, and for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially for those who believe. The New Year is traditionally a time to make resolutions for areas that need improvement. Last Sunday, Mike Sherman spoke about the Jubilee, a rededication and consecration to God the Israelites observed every 50 years. So today I'm motivated to share with all of you the need to renew spiritual discipline and training in the pursuit of godliness this morning. Why? Some of us in the congregation have recently participated in a comprehensive wellness program where nutrition, exercise, and other natural methods restored our overall health, fostered weight loss, and reduced or eliminated chronic conditions. I myself underwent this lifestyle change throughout the past year, and I feel better than I have in years. When I started this program 1 year ago, I was facing health risk factors, was out of shape physically, and was overweight. Yes, flabby. But as 2020 came to a close, however, I was struck by the fact that if I could be transformed physically, then how could I also make a similar spiritual transformation? Over the past several years, as I declined physically, I had also become spiritually flabby. What do I mean by spiritually flabby? For me, that meant a focus on things and worries of this world, such as work, hobbies, and physical fitness. Oftentimes, these things supplanted my walk with God. My time spent studying God's Word declined, and sadly, my spiritual leadership of and my personal example to my family needed improvement. So I ask everyone this morning these questions. Are you spiritually flabby? Do you need to rededicate yourself to make a spiritual transformation to godliness this year? So godliness, what is it? In our keynote scripture, Paul describes godliness as having value for all things in this life and the life to come. So what is it and why is it important? The Greek word used for godliness in 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 is eusebia. Applied to Christians, it is defined as a lifestyle that is acceptable to God, in which the believer adopts the proper attitude of sincere reverence towards God, his Savior. 1 Timothy 3 verse 16, eusebia is described as a mystery, which refers to godliness as holiness initiated in the life of the believer by Christ himself through the indwelling Holy Spirit. 2 Peter 1 verse 3 tells us that God himself is the source of godliness. Simply put, godliness is a genuine reverence for God that governs one's attitude towards every aspect of this life. Hebrews 12 verse 14 warns us that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Godliness, as defined here, enables us to be holy in the Lord. So what is at stake? When it comes to godliness, two things are at stake: eternity and salvation. Eternity is a long, long, long time. Think of something that you were doing when you were growing up that took a long time. Maybe a hard athletic practice that didn't seem to end, or maybe doing endless schoolwork, homework assignments. When running a marathon, that last 385 yards seemed like an eternity. Now multiply that by a whole lot. Actually, eternity is forever. What about salvation? Have you been saved by baptism into Christ or not? In this life, which seems to be passing by ever so quickly, will you choose him or reject him? Do we want to be with God for eternity or be cast from his presence forever, with no chance to change? Our future disposition is at stake. Paul in 2 Peter 1 verse 5 urges us to make every effort to add to our faith, among many other things, godliness. In other words, godliness is something that must encompass our entire lives. If godliness is so essential, how do we attain it? Ultimately, it comes from God, but requires effort on our part. That effort must include a plan spurred on with motivation and self-discipline. What things enable us to live a worthy life of godliness? I suggest six areas that may assist in a spiritual renewal towards godliness. In order to attain godliness, we have to know God and what God expects of us. Knowledge is required. We must study God's Word. Hebrews 4 verse 12 states that God's Word is alive and active and judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Likewise, 2 Timothy 3 verses 16 to 17 reminds us that all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be equipped thoroughly for every good work. When fighting temptation or other spiritual battles, Scripture is our offensive weapon in spiritual warfare. Knowing Scripture can also help us to live as children of light and to find out what pleases God. Ephesians 5 verses 9 to 10. Set aside time every day to study and memorize Scripture and pray. Get involved in a Bible study or similar group focusing on God's Word. Outreach. Sharing about God and the good news with others is required. Matthew 5 verses 14 to 16 remind us that we are the light of the world, God's representatives who share the good news to the lost. As Christians, representatives of God, we are not to keep the gospel to ourselves as exemplified by a lamp placed under a bowl. We are commanded to share the gospel to others, just as Jesus instructed the disciples in the Great Commission. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20 says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." If we really love God and what he did to save us, would we not be compelled to share it with others? Do you have compassion for the lost? Jesus just didn't stay in the synagogue to share the good news. He also went out among the people who needed it most. Make an effort to share the gospel wherever you are and to be ready to give an answer about your faith. Get help from other Christians if you are anxious about sharing with others. Remember that Christ was rejected by many, so this will be true for us as well. Godliness also requires serving. We must serve others before ourselves. In leadership theory, it is often said that true leaders actually serve those whom they lead. Leaders provide the tools and the resources for subordinates to do their job successfully. So it is with Christians. Jesus, while speaking to the disciples, said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28. Help others by serving them. Does someone in the church have a need that you can meet? Is there something you can do here at Lassen Street for the church? Are you being asked to help with something? Galatians 6 verse 10 states, "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers." Giving. We are richly blessed, so let's pass it on to others. Acts 20 verse 35 reminds us, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Think of all the blessings that God has given us. Can we count them? Everything from salvation in Christ to the most mundane things we need for life itself is a blessing from above. In appreciation for God's blessings, do you give gratefully back to the church and others with your time, talent, and resources? We all have different gifts provided by His grace for different purposes. Romans 12, verse 6 through 8 states, "We all have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." We should give freely and willingly, remembering that we all belong to one another as part of God's church. We can't live a life of godliness if we don't submit to God. Submit to God, obey the Lord and His commands. God cannot do His needed work to transform us if our hearts won't allow Him to. One of the critical ways we submit to God is to obey His commands. The whole duty of man is to fear God and to obey His commandments. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. James 1, verse 22 urges us to not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Jesus Himself said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Luke 6, 46. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. In all your ways, submit to God, and He will make your paths straight. Closely related to submission to God is our submission to one another. Ephesians 5, verse 21 directs us to submit to one another out of the reverence for Christ. Remove all hindrances to godliness. We cannot embrace godliness if we are controlled by sin. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Hebrews 12, verse 1. The list of hindrances is long, many of which are listed in Galatians 5, verses 19 to 21. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness and orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Are any of these present in your life? Some of the areas in your life to examine include: who do you associate with? What you watch on television and see on the internet? What you say and think? What your motives are for your actions, how you spend your time, how you respond in difficult situations. What will you do to get rid of the hindrances to godliness you find in your life? It would be impossible to have godliness without genuine motivation and self-discipline. Motivation and self-discipline are the catalysts that tie it all together. In order to implement these six things, we must be motivated and self-disciplined. Motivation is often defined as the reasons for our actions, willingness, and goals. In John 5, verses 5 to 8, Jesus asked the invalid at the pool of Bethesda before healing him, "Do you want to get well?" Is godliness something you pursue with all your heart? Is your relationship with God a treasure you cherish? If you really want to attain something, self-discipline is needed. Paul uses an athletic metaphor to describe it in 1 Corinthians 9, verses 24 to 27. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached it to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Self-discipline enables us to pursue what is right, despite temptations to abandon it. I conclude the lesson with the following thoughts. The challenge is for us to pursue godliness using scriptural knowledge, outreach, service, giving, submission to God, and the removal of hindrances in our lives. Scriptures make it clear that the human race we belong to is terminal, and that we will all die one day unless the Lord returns before then. Christ has provided his plan of salvation to us through Christ. Because judgment is certain and eternity is fact, we should discipline ourselves and strive for godliness now for this present life and for the life to come. Make the changes you need to make today. Pursue your salvation with confidence and assurance as you strive daily for godliness. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Your salvation, that is, where you will be after you die for eternity, depends on it. Thank you for your attention this morning. This lesson is yours. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we praise you for the great God you are. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning to worship you. Please help us to strengthen our godliness individually as well as a congregation this year. We ask for your continued blessing and guidance in the coming week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. And now for the communion thoughts. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and offered it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the blood of my covenant, which is poured out for the many for the forgiveness of sins." Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28. With these words, Jesus told us how to take the Lord's Supper and to acknowledge the new covenant between man and God through his sacrifice on the cross. It is important to take the communion today in a worthy manner reflective of Christ's ultimate sacrifice on the cross. The sting of sin is death, and the power of sin is in the law. Thanks be to God that we have victory over sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 56 to 57. And now the prayer for the bread. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to take this bread. We know that this bread represents your body and your sacrifice on the cross. Help us to take it now in a worthy manner that pleases you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let us now pray for the cup. Lord, we take this cup knowing that it represents the blood that you shed on the cross. We know that it's only your blood that saves us, just as it did in the Passover. Thank you for shedding your blood on the cross for us, even though we did not deserve any such thing. Lord, we take this cup in Christ's name. Amen. Again, thank you for joining us this morning. Have a blessed week. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, we praise you for the great God you are. Thank you for the opportunity to gather together this morning to worship you. Please bless us in the coming week. We thank you again for Christ, who died on the cross for us. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.